welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky review yet another wine from El Enemigo from Argentina, this time their Bonarda. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
It's good to be here. I think we're going to have an exciting, interesting episode.
We are, mostly because we have the Triple B with us.
I feel like you're just trying to get my favor.
No, I gave up trying to do that many years ago. I'll break into Wilford and ruin any goodwill
He's just hopeful that he doesn't get put time out.
That's true. Although it would be someplace comfortable. That'd be nice.
You probably won't get your devices.
No, that's right.
And you won't be able to drink any wine. So you'll
be putting time
out.
Oh, that's not a good thing. I'll have to behave.
That's not possible.
That's not. It's not. No, I know he's. It's not gonna. He's a bad person, really, on the inside. It's true. On tonight's show, we have an interesting wine from a winery that we've done many things from them. Actually, once we drink this wine tonight, we would have drank, I believe, the entire line at some point on the show, which is a feat and it's something we're very proud of. I'm not sure why, but you have to have small goals in life, I suppose. So tonight we have another wine, the last wine that we have not drank from El Enemigo, and this is their Bonarda. For those that don't know Bonarda, and that's probably
everybody,
a lot. Bonarda is a grape that some people like to compare to Malbec. It's not the same. It genetically is the same though as Douce Noir. That's Douce, not Douche. Douce Noir from Savoie in France. And if that doesn't help you, which it shouldn't, Charbono, the United States version, Charbono is that. You occasionally...
You mean Sonny and Cher?
I know. You occasionally see Charbono, but not really. It's one of those, it's a deep cut from a winery that they don't talk about. I'm sure Parducci has a Charbono that they don't talk about. You know, they made six cases of it, you know, and they're three bottle cases. It's a grape that is going to be something you're going to see more and more of, because in Argentina, they're planting more and more of this grape.
Okay.
Because
they are physically planting. I don't know. They apparently like it quite a bit. El Enemigo does a Cab Franc. They do a Malbec. They do the Bonarda. Bonarda, sorry, A at the end. This, though, is 85% Bonarda and 15% their Cab Franc.
To make things even more confusing,
yes,
this is not the same Bonarda as the Bonarda from Italy. They're different grapes.
Very point. Very good point. Nobody knew about the Bonarda in Italy either.
Or Argentina.
No. But you will probably, over the next several years, see more and more mainline wineries growing Bonarda. And there's some reasons why. Bonardas have great fruit, great ripe fruit. They have good acidity. They have, you know, a little bit less tannin, and they do well with no oak. Mm. So oaking isn't something that is that natural. This is 15 months on oak, but large used oak fooder. So less surface contact, more just to mellow the wine out. But it also...
Did you say it's put in instead?
What, just stainless, normally?
No, what kind of oak did you say?
Oh, fooders.
Which is?
A big vat. Big oak vat. So, French, and second and third use, actually. So it's very muted. It's just there to give it a little bit of character, not to impart a great deal of flavor.
Just a kiss.
Yes. Think a fooder is a very, very large vat, not a small. The smaller the barrel, the more surface contact the wine's going to have with the oak. and you're going to get more of that flavor.
Relative to the volume of liquid that's in the container.
Yes. So the bigger the vessel, the more the wine, the less contact there is.
Primary flavors from Madeline Puckett's The Wine Folly.
Oh, yes.
Plum sauce. Cherry.
Cardamom.
Love cardamom.
Mm-hmm.
Fig paste.
Love fig paste.
Graphite.
And graphite, yes.
Fig paste. This is a little minerality.
So where's Everybody. That wine book that we keep down here?
You mean The Wine Folly? There's a book around here somewhere. I don't know where it is.
Well, I was just thinking, because it has like the spectrum of wines.
That might actually be upstairs.
Oh.
I was gazing upon it. There is the Art Oz Clark book that has very little value, but it was $2 or something like that. So. Yes.
So what wines would you put in? Because I'm guessing this is going to be medium bodied.
Medium bodied.
Medium
bodied. And so where would we put it near or around?
You mean different other varietals?
Like Merlot.
No, I think Malbec is one. I think
heavier than a Pinot.
Definitely heavier than a Pinot. Let me think here. Maybe Cab Franc. Certain Cab Francs. Not Bordeaux Cab Franc, but more like Loire and stuff like that. Another one that might work would be, you know, Zin maybe, but I think a Zin is going to be a little bit more intense than a Bernardo.
Yeah.
But there but I don't think Merlot has astringency. Merlot might be a little more serious wine. This is more of a fun type wine.
Is this like a rosé?
No. Matter of fact, you have had Bernarda before, but it was half and half, and it was like Malbec Bernarda, and we liked the juiciness of it. It was like a $10.99 one, though.
But there we have
and
it.
I could see.
It was maybe early spring.
This fruit profile would pair nicely with Malbec in a blend.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It would. And one thing, from a food pairing, this goes really well with meaty fish, like cedar plank salmon. It goes great with that kind of stuff, especially if it's seasoned, like brown sugar or things. Like when you're bringing that kind of flavors out of stuff, this works really well for that. Not necessarily beef, but they say it's an extremely, extremely versatile grape. Very versatile.
Wine Folly recommends food pairing with locally inspired fare, including mole sauces, curried potatoes, empanadas, and tacos al pastor.
They mean locally inspired
Argentina.
Not in Ohio. Yeah.
Well, you can have mole sauces, tacos al pastor.
Locally sourced fare in Grove City.
There's some really good purveyors of
double
tacos
cheeseburger. If you're in like.
Have we gone to our first commercial?
We have not.
Let's do that and then come back and do the nose.
Southern Ohio, roadkill, stuff like that.
We have good tacos.
Scrape it and plate it. There you go. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But be right back here on The Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love The Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about The Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on The Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the webs.
Enemigo.
Becky is arguing about the El Enemigo.
Enemigo.
Okay, well, that's your way. That's like your opinion, man. El Enemigo, because it sounds better.
You're saying it like amnesia.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm gonna keep saying it my way. So.
Enemigo. Enemigo.
This one has.
Enemigo.
Up your butt.
This one just says enemy.
Yes.
Well, that's
enemigo. Enemigo. That's how you say it. You're mispronouncing it.
I'm French.
It's not enemigo. French.
I'm French.
Enemigo. Enemigo.
You're such enemigo. A butthole.
Enemigo.
Am I?
Enemigo.
No.
You wouldn't do this to me?
No, I wouldn't.
Remember when you said you've done extensive
yes,
research?
We did. It was apparently incorrect. I don't care. I'm still going to say El Enemigo because I like it better. So.
Enemigo.
Enemigo. That sucks. It's Enemigo. It's Enemigo. I'm going to keep saying it. I like that word better. Anyway, the reviews of this wine. Thank you. I think it's out Enemigo too, because I can't say Enemigo. I can't say it. It's too complicated. So the first review was by the Wine Spectator. And they gave it 92 of their points. You see, if you make fun of the wine guy, he gets all bitter and just lashes out with me. I don't know why, but still, nobody likes me. So,
well, nobody likes him either.
That's fine, but nobody really likes me. Anyway, they gave it 92 of their points.
They gave what?
This wine.
Which is called
what? El Enemigo.
You guys both talked down to me about it. You did.
Whatever.
Rarely there's a hard G. We've done extensive research.
Yeah.
You just true. Rarely there's a hard G.
Scott told me how it was pronounced, and I went with it. It's Scott.
Enemigo. 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 Enemigo.
Tell me when.
When.
Say it.
El Enemigo. Uh-huh. Is that, but wait a second. Is that Spanish or Mexican that you looked up? You looked at Mexican, so. In Spain.
YouTube, Spanish.
No, don't Enemigo. You dare.
Enemigo.
You're going to have to get a new phone after Enemigo. I break it.
Enemigo. Enemigo.
Enemigo.
Enemigo.
Okay, Enemigo. Enemigo.
And also, I would like a... Sorry, Becky.
Sorry, Becky.
That's a 17-second loop I can put on.
Yeah.
El Enemigo. El
and
Enemigo.
I'm a two-hour loop. I can just talk like this. So, big and rich...
I'll just go upstairs and go to bed.
And well-spiced. Then we can say Enemigo.
Big, rich, well-spiced.
With structured dark fruit flavors that feature dried, savory spice accents. Mm. Underbrush notes line the minerally finish. It's a weird way to say
it. This sounds 80 times better than fig paste and...
92.
Oh, I like that.
What
like
was the other
you
word?
Don't like fig?
Fig paste sounds...
It's horrible. A fig Newton.
What was the other thing it said?
Figgy pudding.
No.
Plum sauce.
Plum sauce, yeah.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah. 92 of their points. That's a lot.
And hello, this is James Suckley.
Can we move on to On the Nose?
No. There are two more reviews.
On the Nose, this has a...
I, James Suckley, gave it a 92 as well. I wrote a medium...
I can't tell, Scott, would you say it's mineral? Or
a medium to full-bodied with aromas of blackcurrants, stewed blackberries, because everybody stews their blackberries,
well.
Licorice and ash. Firm, creamy tannins and a plush, velvety texture, very typical from a Bonarda from El Enemigo. And
stop saying it wrong.
Yeah, and Robert
say
Parker
it. I'll
also
turn it back on, you
Robert
butthead.
Parker also gave it a 92.
Enemigo.
So three like 92s. It. Yeah.
Even if they pronounce it wrong.
Enemigo. That's... Enemigo.
Say it.
Enemigo.
Joe. Anyway, so, and he said, and Parker also tested it next to their single vineyard Bonardas because they have those, and he said it was just fantastic. So, let's see what it looks like. It looks red. The L.
It's dark.
And a Miji Gogo. Yeah, well, that's how we'll pronounce it. It is dark. Looks like a Malbec. On the nose.
What looks like a
Enemigo.
Malbec?
Enemigo. Enemigo.
Is
how is it pronounced in Russian? I'm kind of curious.
Is this more or less annoying than Scott's buzzer game?
Is this how you torture people when you're trying to get the information on the Eastern Front?
Not even close to being funny.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just asking. Not going too well, is it?
So what's the barnyard smell?
Your armpit? I don't know.
You got barnyard?
Yeah.
No barnyard.
Stick your nose in there.
No.
It's behind the fruit. It's there.
Okay. Mm. I smell the ash. I don't actually smell the ash, but what the hell
ash
is
that?
Licorice and ash. Because I think licorice belongs in an ashtray, actually.
It's a little bit acidic. There's fruit. And then behind that is the barnyard.
Okay. Stewed plum. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I don't smell anything vegetal, which is good news.
Well, you're drinking the El Enemigo. This is the El Enemigo. It's kind of muted.
I'm getting like a hot metal smell, like
maybe a little bit,
like hot brakes on a car, maybe.
Well, the a little graphite kind of aspect to it,
maybe
cordite.
The one thing that I'll say about this so far that has surprised me is with not a lot of oaking. I guess the Cab Franc possibly. I am surprised how dark the wine is because it is really dark in the glass.
Well, the varietal tends to be this dark.
Okay. What I'm telling you is it surprises me based on the flavor profile how dark it is. Because looking at it, it's dark like a cab or something like that. And it just is surprising to me how dark it is.
Well, it's the purpley hue, too, that we haven't seen recently. We've seen things that don't look very good in the glass.
Yeah.
Partly because, you know.
Like a musty, which you're going for barnyard. You said barnyard. I get like maybe a musty. I can see that.
The underbrush. The underbrush that they're talking about.
It's just musty.
A little moss, a little something.
It's a.
Not that I agree with you.
It's a soft nose.
It is.
On the palate, though, the palate is where you get a little bit of that rush of, not quite moss, but a little bit of a underbrush tone. There's no piney quality. There's none of that. But just a little bit of dried leaves, but not in a negative sense because it's a little more perfume than that.
Yeah, maybe it's like a fall.
It does have a little bit of an autumn hue to it, a little bit.
Autumnal.
Maybe a little bit. I can see where you would pair this well with salmon, especially something a rich, good salmon. That really... Because normally you're doing like these big... You know, a Russian River Pinot, a drippy, a bigger one, kind of gets towards this, too. Maybe not quite to this level it has body, but not quite the concentration that this has, but it gets down that road. We've had, I remember the Rodney Strong stuff, their Russian River, and their, like, that $20 or, you know, that $20 and change stuff. All of those Cali ones like that are good quality. They can get a little bit denser like this, which is kind of nice.
Dense?
Dense in a flavor method, not necessarily in body.
For knuckleheadedness.
No.
Dense.
I was just chime in. Sorry, I was thinking about what to use this in with cooking. Not to, like, what to pair it with, but I was just thinking about, I was like daydreaming for a minute about the short rib thing that you do with this.
No, that would be
I was like down a whole path with it, with carrots. I was like mentally down like a whole, I don't even know how long I was thinking about it.
Well, this comes in at, right now it's selling for $29. I paid 24 and a half for it or something like that. Mid 20s. I didn't pay 29, but I don't know. I think sometimes I find some of these wines that have a little bit of this body, they fall apart a little bit when you cook with them. And that's just been what I've seen. Mm. I want something that has a bit more of a tannic structure because this doesn't necessarily have tannin.
It doesn't.
But the acidity, you can notice the acidity.
The tannic base is fine. It's just not a tannin bomb. It's not a big tannic thing.
No. It's red wine. I mean, red wines have some version of tannin at some point.
Comes in at 13.5 ABV. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the high end of the range for Bernarda.
Mm-hmm.
What's very distinct in this is that graphite, that mineral on the finish. I see why it's not traditionally oaked.
Oh, yeah.
I think it doesn't need that.
But you can taste a little bit of the oak on the mid palate as it turns into the finish.
I just was writing that too. The oak in the mid palate is very different.
It's a weird place for it to show up in the mid palate.
But it's like a kiss. It's not too bad. I mean, it's not too heavy handed at all. Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's almost hinged right there, and it turns on the oak, and then
And then finishes the up. Finish is nearly oak-free.
Mm-hmm. But also, the creaminess of the oak comes in on the finish. Because this wine, if I was going to say anything, I like it. But it has a creaminess to it, which I really like. It almost has a decadence to it without being drippy, without being jammy. Mm. I really like that slight chocolate aspect that just rolls through the entire wine, all the way through to the finish.
Like
just a little bit sweeter than a baker's chocolate, but not a milk. Special dark.
I'm getting that little bit of plum as a savory fruit. I don't know about fig. But when I think fig, I think sweeter.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Are you pulling out that kiss of cherry? It's very similar to a cherry profile in a Pinot.
It's just not very, as very, very brief. But
brief and not as... Yeah, it's just very brief. I was going to say not omnipresent.
Front end of the front palate. And that's where a little bit of there's a little bit of kiss of acidity at the front that rolls in too. So,
you know, people are gonna like Bernarda if this is truly representative of the grape varietal. People are gonna, if you're a red wine drinker,
it's very approachable, very drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would also like the lower alcohol content.
Sure. Yeah, except 15, 16, come on, no, not all the time. 13 and a half is plenty of alcohol to still have us. Oh, yeah. I think people will just find it interesting. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are kind of intro, kind of red drinkers, they're going to like, A, the flavor profile, and B, the softness.
Mm-hmm. It really, and it has a lot to offer.
Oh, yeah.
All the elements are just interesting. They're easy to pick out. I mean, it's, you know, maybe you can blow by the cherry, but that distinct graphite, that interest, it's interesting. The oaking that it appears in the mid palate, as you called it, it kind of hinges the wine. Little kiss of bright, I'd call it bright acidity.
Yeah.
And really well put together.
You know, I wish, this is what I wish Petit Sirah tasted like. I mean, I wish a lot of things tasted like this, but I really wish Petit Sirah would taste like this, and it just never does.
This is such an easy drink, too. I mean, it really, really...
Just laid. It's just kind of... It's smooth jazz, almost. You're like, oh, yeah.
Hashtag don't shame Petit Sirah, Rob.
I didn't. I just said I don't like it that much.
Mm. Hashtag don't shame it.
Mm. Hashtag don't pour it in my glass.
Okay.
No, I'm not a big Petit Sirah guy, but... This wine, I do like. I like its nature, like the laid back kind of. Hello, baby. I'm gonna make sweet love to you tonight. I'm El and Amigo. Then you would lose the love, because you know. How would it sound? Hello, I'm El and Amigo. No, but if they said, I'm El and Amigo. Oh, the second one, that would really get you going. Probably not me, but you know, for somebody, I think if you're gonna pick one, El and Amigo or El and Mijo,
you know, I think in response to this part of the episode,
what
Becky's going to teach the boys on their devices to play El and Amigo.
Oh, you're the one that found it. How it was pronounced. You're the one that told me how
I found it.
You did.
You always talk about El and Mijo
because you told me
on the show.
I didn't know.
This is a Western man, not the Southern man.
Yeah.
I would happen to know because I talked to some of my hombres. It is
How did you all decide it was pronounced this
Scott
way?
Scott said it
what
was.
What was your research? I didn't.
Scott looked it up.
Remind me what your extensive research was.
There's no extensive research.
We talked to an Argentinian man.
He always talks about El Amigo.
I hope there are some friends of the podcast in their car, rewinding back to the beginning, listening to... Both of you all say there's rarely a hard G.
There really is.
Well, I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's fair.
Doesn't mean it's right.
Extensive research, et cetera, et cetera.
That's what Rob said.
And are on my side. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There's no sides in the world.
There are no sides.
It's all love.
It's no. Yes, it is. Yeah. No, I believe they told us it was El Amigo as a revenge for the Falkland Islands, probably. As stupid assholes. We're not British, damn it. We didn't do that. We were on their side, though, not yours.
I've done a few nuclear tests there, but...
Well, whatever. You know. Potato, potato.
Hmm.
Hmm. All right. We're going to go around the room. And everybody's going to say an element of the wine.
Is that our potpourri?
No, we're not too potpourri.
I feel like we've already done a ton of elements of it. I don't think this is a wine that we're going to have 50 new things.
Scott.
Graphite. Overruled.
Graphite. I'm going to go plum.
Oak.
Oak. Scott.
Kiss of cherry.
Chocolate.
Hold on. I want to check, taste something at the end. Hold on. Okay, I think it was something from the cheese. So you said plum. We said, do we say cherry?
Yep. And chocolate.
I think I'm out.
Scott?
Just a bit of acidity.
Acidity, yep.
Just a bit of acidity.
Yep.
I think the tannic structure is fine. It's just not a big tannic thing.
Well, you don't want... But this is the thing. We've probably said this before. This is how you want it to taste. You don't want other things there. I mean, this is just how it should taste.
But I think that there's enough tannins here that you could give a little age on this. 3-4 years, I would guess. I think that the fruit would be more exposed then.
Well, yeah. But we've talked about the wine is well balanced. And that's always if it's balanced, you don't mess with it, man.
Well,
it's like, this is how it should be. And then you just say, yep, that works for me.
I think it would be interesting to have this and set it down for a little while and just see what it could be.
Well,
this is a really well-made wine.
Oh, extremely. All their stuff has been well-made.
Yeah.
And that's the comment we've made about all their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we weren't like... We liked the Malbec. It was good, but it wasn't as good as the Cab Franc. The Chardonnay was amazing.
Yeah.
And then this.
I think we liked the Chardonnay maybe the best.
Chardonnay was amazing. For Chardonnay, it was just...
We love Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Yeah, we do. We do enjoy Chardonnay.
No, you do.
We do. You like Chardonnay.
Okay, but you love it. But not as much as you love
Rosé. For white wines... Right. For white wines, yes, I do like Chardonnay.
Have we talked much about the label?
We did on previous episodes, but you can talk about that again. Because
you all have done a previous episode saying El Amnesio.
Oh, no, he's...
We've done two previous episodes with you on there.
No, Becky, he talks about it all the time.
You co-opted it. You have had two episodes.
I just go along.
Is this supposed to make a note?
How many episodes have you done like this?
We've done three.
How many have I?
Two.
Was I asleep? Was I pregnant?
Well,
I don't know. I don't know. You are as responsible as any of us.
Enemigo.
See? She led us astray.
I was probably asleep. I was probably pregnant, and you all made me be on.
No, you might have had a broken leg and been pregnant, but that's not our problem. One was a secret wine. I think the Cab Franc was a secret wine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was on, but I didn't know what you were saying.
What I want to know is...
We didn't really refer to it very much.
Whose enemy is this? This isn't my enemy.
It's not my enemy.
They're not my enemy.
The one we fought against ourselves, the original enemy, the one that defined us.
It's
deep.
This very bottle deep. Is very heavy.
It is heavy. It's a bar fight bottle.
It really is.
It's a nice bar.
Did you feel how heavy it
yes.
is compared to...
I mean, you could beat the shit out of somebody.
Yeah, that's you
dense.
Could.
Yeah. But what bar are you in where there's going to be a fight that's being served? I want to be at that bar. It'd be awesome. Assuming that you're getting that, because you could beat the shit out of somebody. But that's a really high-class bar because you're drinking that.
I don't think Becky was thinking about the bar. I think she was thinking about later tonight.
Yep.
Whacking you in the head.
Sure thing.
That's just not nice.
Correct.
Well, you're the enemy.
I'm the El Enemigo.
You're the original enemy.
Shut up. Butthole.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
So I will briefly... So... In our house, I feel like Henry, Luke, Maggie are like even between me and Rob. William has always favored his mother. Like anything that I'm going to do, he wants to be with me. Rob could be going to do something pretty fun, and he would be like, first question, is Mom going? Hasn't he?
Yes.
The past, like, 2 or 3 weeks, he's made a shift to Rob.
Oh, how the tables have turned. That really upsets you, doesn't it?
It does upset me a lot. Yeah.
That's because he's realizing he likes to do boy things. He went with you last night.
Because all of the boys were going.
I know, but he likes to do boy things.
He's, like, really stepped out on his mom.
Yeah, he likes to play tackle football.
He's sometimes, I would say 75 to 80% of the time, he gets up in the night and comes and sleeps on the floor next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're not that far from him coming in the room and sleeping on the floor next to you.
Probably. It'd be a good thing for him.
And it'll break my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, step up your game. Although, he did throw things at my head today, so, you know, there's that. Let's
not go there.
I know. I just did. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Say it.
And be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight,
El Enemigo.
On tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask a question of the group. I was going to play Pro V Con, but I can't find those damn cards anywhere. But we will
Such
play
a bummer.
Soon. A double episode, just of Pro V Con. No wine. No booze at all, except for me. I'll drink while they play Pro V Con. That's their own personal hell. If you're ever going to punish them, that's what you'd do. No, but I am going to put Scott on the spot, which he also
I love it
poops his pants and you know loses control.
I like to prepare.
Well, it doesn't even matter when you prepare; it's embarrassing.
Not true. I never get to prepare.
No, this is a very easy thing. I think I want everybody.
Which version's better, Seven's Dust the Enemy or Godsmack's the Enemy?
Both of them make you a gooch. So
no, Seven Dust is a really good song.
Anyway, I want you to pick a red, a white, and a dessert wine.
Oh, my God.
That you love.
I.
You can just say, you don't even, if you don't know the name of the wine, you can just say, I like XYZ. I know.
I want to claw your eyes out when you do this.
Well, you can try.
On dessert wine, are you including port?
Sure.
Yeah. Or sauternes. You like those? Ice wine.
I'm going to already answer. I'm just asking for you all.
Well, you can say that. Yeah, you can say that. I'm expecting some more specificity. So, from Scott at least. You too.
Perfect. YouTube?
If you don't give me the exact answer that I want, absolutely nothing will happen. So, there we go. We're going to start off though with Scott. There's no consequences. Oh, more Pro V Con.
So, do we want this to be more like something recent or something like all time?
It could be either. I mean,
whatever you want it to be.
I have something. Well, this isn't really answering your question, but.
Of course not. Go ahead. I'm interested to hear what it is.
I had a nice wine conversation with someone on Friday night.
Go ahead.
Unexpectedly.
Sure.
Mm. And we were just talking about wine, and she said she used to like Chardonnay before she had her kids, but now she can't drink it anymore, so she's drinking Sauvignon Blanc. Sure. And what did she say? Her Groth?
Yeah, yeah. Were you? I can't recall where you were.
I was at Sam's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I was, okay.
But anyways, she said that she likes Groth, which is a Napa Sauvignon Blanc. I don't know that I've had it.
No, we don't really buy much from Groth.
I don't love a Napa Sauvignon Blanc. But anyways, it was really interesting to talk to her because she knew of Kim Crawford. She had had it. And we do a monthly euchre club together. And so I made a note to myself for our next euchre time together to take Love Block. And it was a really exciting, like, this is like a person that I really am glad I am friends with, and I get to introduce them to like a wine adjacent to what they drink. It's exciting, but it's also
just so cool. You've got good experience with something that you love. You love the mm-hmm. Love Block, but we also like the Kimmy, you know, and yep. It's a good price. I shared that with my mom. She just loved the Kim Crawford.
It's so good.
But so is the Love Block. Yeah. You know, it's just a different level.
It is unusual, though, when it's a specific wine, because I'm thinking about where you find, I mean, you can buy Groth Sauvignon Blanc on wine.com, but I'm thinking, can you find it in a lot of the stores? I mean, I've seen Groth Cabernet occasionally.
I don't know that I've seen it. $20.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. It's not wildly expensive.
That's what she said, too. She was like, I'm not a bougie person. I want to be in, like, the 20-ish range. And I was like, oh, yeah. Love Block is...
No, yeah, that's right. It's a little more than that, actually. But it's, yeah.
Sometimes. I feel like you mid-20s. Can find it.
The Pinot's a little more than the Sauv.
Yeah, it's in mm-hmm. the 30s.
But, yeah. No, that's a great example of why not share mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. That's...
Well, so which of the two would you pick? Love Block.
Oh, I'm going to take the Love Block Sauvignon Blanc.
Yep.
Yeah. Just because that's what she likes. I don't know if she drinks red, which would be I should ask her that question. The same Euchre Club is the one that Andrea went with to me. And she had brought that Numanthia, and she was going to leave it there. And I was like, no, take it. It was the same.
Uh-huh. You bring that here.
Yeah. I totally said that.
It didn't survive very long.
No, and I think she felt like, I feel like a bad guest taking the wine back, but I'm like, no, take that. We're going to take it back to my house and drink it.
Yeah.
It lasted a half a second.
Yeah.
And by the way, Numanthia now, they've kind of reinvested and gotten back to their roots, even though it's still owned by Hennessy, right?
Sounds right. I'm not sure.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But we looked it up that night.
The new Termes, the new Numanthias are so much better than they were for that. And they weren't bad before, mind you, but they had kind of just fallen off a little bit. They are really wonderful.
We had some Termes that were a little disappointing.
Well, they weren't bad, but it's just...
They're just not what we expected.
Yeah.
In a $13 bottle of wine.
Did not meet expectations.
Well, no. $25 bottle. Okay, so your three wines, Scott, what are those?
Well, you know my white's always going to be Turley's little white coat.
I thought you meant the Pinot Project, Pinot Blanc.
What?
Yeah, you bought that. I figured you'd like it. I don't know.
Sure. No, it's always... That's always going to be...
What?
Until it's been replaced. The Turley, the white coat. Mm-hmm. It's just always going to be special white wine for me. It's wonderful. It's ageable to some degree. And it just never disappoints. Such a spectacular white wine. I like to say it's a white wine for the red wine drinker, but red wines, there's so many ways to go. Recently we did an episode where Rob completely underscored and showed great stereotyping to protect his long felt hatred over another Turley product, the Hain Vineyard. It's freaking amazing.
You're still very bitter about that.
Well, I'm not the one protecting my ego and my comments. Hain's not that good. It's not worth it.
You get so emotional. It's just like
you're blushing.
You're blushing. You're too invested about that wine. Well, it's a good wine.
It's a great wine.
It's a good wine. Yeah,
but I'm not going to say that. I'm just trying to.
You're bitter.
Jerk your chains a little bit. I'm just going to go a different way. I'm going to go to that special bottle story. Goes to an early episode. The Clarendon Hills, the Higginbotham. Mm. That was a special night, a special bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And to recap, we've told the story many times. Rob had pulled out 20 years on the bottle it was.
It was 2004, and that was probably...
Not 20 years.
It was 13, 14 years, probably. Because what was it, 2017, 2018?
It was an early episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So, long time in the bottle. And we, you know, when it was open, it decanted for a little while. Thought it was spent. We came back to it, and it was just amazing. It just needed to blow some steam off.
It tasted like a magnificent Chateauneuf.
It was unbelievably good. And it was truly... For me, it was that first cellared wine experience where something was spectacular.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable experience. And mm-hmm. I'll never forget that bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah. Did you do your dessert wine?
We've had a lot of good ports on the show.
Mm-hmm. Pick one. Cockburn?
Well, so the thing for me about
Coburn, I'm asking you if you still have the symptoms.
Not lately. Okay. Not lately. You know, the shots, the little metal thing that's kind of got the bends in it.
The show had just been too clean so far. I have to still get the explicit rating in there,
right? But Coburn's for me was really that first port that I got it and I truly enjoyed it. It wasn't too sweet for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the bottle that we went in on and got
True Gentleman's
port.
Oh, that was very nice.
That was get that? From you arranged it to get it from our friend Holly.
Yeah. Oh. That 6-bottle case. It was all they had. It's a good bottle.
And that was really, really
by
nice
Rodney
one.
Strong. A really special thing. A
it
vintage
was like the end they were end of it or something.
Yeah.
And they don't make it every year. It's episodic.
They use traditional Portuguese varietals to make it.
Yeah.
I've heard about that.
I mean, you can understand why they don't make it every year. It probably costs them an arm and a leg, and they don't charge that much for it. So, you know, it'd be very expensive to make for them.
Yeah, and so I've had so many, but I'm going to go a different way. And I'm not going to be specific because I don't know even what it was. But there was a night where we'd had a full meal and had some people with us at Scally's, and Frank brought out one of his really special grappas.
Oh, yeah.
And it was unbelievable. It was anise, but it had more port-like characteristics, this particular one. And he talked on and on and on about it, but I was probably 3 sheets to the wind already. We'd probably been 2 bottles in.
Well, you're always 3 sheets to the wind.
Well, maybe 3 or 4. But again, that's one I'll never forget, that grappa. That
you forgot
Frank,
it. I'm just kidding.
I don't know that I ever knew what it was called.
No, he wouldn't.
You know, I just, yeah. I don't, he didn't he bring the bottle out. It. He just brought it, but he sat down with us.
Yeah. Bola grappa.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it was, you know, one of the clear grappas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord. Thick, dense, so much anise that it almost like had a, it almost like burned on the tongue like a hot pepper.
Well, grappa's like ouzo, only it tastes good.
This one had some port characteristics. I remember it being had the anise, mm-hmm. but it was like almost caramely.
I'd rather throw up in my mouth like 50 times in a row than drink ouzo again. Blackjack licorice. So, well, that's a good presentation, Becky. What's yours?
I don't have a dessert wine.
That's fine. You don't have to have a dessert wine.
So my white wine would be Love Block, which I haven't had in forever.
We have some in there.
I know. I haven't had it in forever.
Okay.
She's getting, and actually the stares of daggers are less now than they were early in the episode, which I don't understand.
Would you like some this week?
Because she
no,
hasn't had
I
Love Block
I
want to
save it for you, Granite.
Well, I have more than one.
How many do you have?
2 or 3, maybe 4, maybe 7.
He's been holding out.
How many do you really have?
I don't know, at least 2 or 3.
He's been holding out.
Yeah, I have some. I have Pinot.
You see me just rolling.
I have a Black Cabernet. I don't know. They didn't make it. I have it, though. I don't have that because they don't make that, but if they did,
we would buy it.
Yeah, we would. It'd be cool.
What's the other one I'm supposed to do? Red?
Red.
What's the Argentinian Pinot that we can't buy anymore? Apatagua?
Well, no, we have some.
But it's...
It came back.
It came back. Okay. Yeah. That would be my red choice.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Not
all-time greatest. Just like...
All right.
I didn't know that we had a couple.
It's like...
I feel like you've been stashing them.
He is.
I drank a bottle not too long ago. You were there. I didn't want to drink. So I was like, fine.
What was...
I drank it all myself. I didn't even use a glass.
No, there was something going on. I think it was because I had just started my new medicine.
Oh, there's that.
Right. But at Apatagua, it's just got a special place for us. It's like this standard.
They're still selling, though, the 18, and I wish they'd get to the 20 because the 18, I mean, that's what I have. It's just,
there's the silly movie that Bridget Fonda's in, and in the beginning of it, she's going into bankruptcy, and her husband's an idiot, and he rips off all her money, and she's a waitress. It's the Waitress in the Cop movie where they win the lottery.
Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage.
But she says, you have to have standards. Yeah. A girl's Miracle Whip. You have to have a Miracle Whip. That was her standard.
Yeah.
For us, it's Apatagua. Yeah. Apatagua's a standard. You just you have to have Apatagua.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wish they made the what's the Grand Inverino, whatever their next level up. I wish they did a Pinot with that. They don't, though. So... their Cabernet in that I really like. You can still buy their base Cabernet. Yeah, it's fine. But I really like their Grand Reserve, we'll call that.
Grand Reserve.
Yeah.
But so one time we had the level above that Grand Reserve.
Well, we had the Pinot, their Collection.
And we didn't care for it as much as
the
base.
Yeah, that's how I was
thinking. It was good. It just wasn't
We didn't care for it as much as the base.
Yeah. It just was like, okay.
And you'll have that sometimes.
That's happened to us.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. I mean, I don't know, they don't make it anymore.
So, okay, think of a dessert wine you've had. You don't need to think what it was.
I like some dessert wines.
Think of an experience where you had a dessert wine that you liked.
I like dessert wines. I will say, though, if we're – I don't like to have a dessert wine at the end of a meal. They're too much for me. I like having them – like when we've done them separately. Sure. I like them like that. If we're talking about something to have for dessert, I would almost always pick a decaf coffee. I just don't. After you've had a meal, I just am not.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You like sauternes?
Thank you.
I particularly like to have a dessert wine when I'm out if I'm having dessert, too.
At the same time?
Yes.
I would just pick the dessert wine over the dessert.
Over creme brulee?
Well, you always order the creme brulee. I'll still get some.
Particularly
right?
Creme brulee and port are great. But any of the desserts at Scally's with Judy's berry sauce... And grappa or port? Yes, thank you. May I have another?
Yeah.
And I like the acidity of the berry sauce with the dessert wine.
Mm.
And now on to me. So.
I think we should just end now.
No, you won't hear mine. White wine. I'm going to go Chardonnay. Ugh. Just to be, you know.
Nondescript.
Ugh.
Two of them. El and Amigo. They're Chardonnay.
But you've never had that. You've only ever had El Enemigo.
That's true, too. That's the French import version. And another one, I looked it up because I had it, and it's a New Zealand Chardonnay, and I really, really enjoyed it. Camus River Village Chardonnay.
Mm.
I really like that.
What decade was this?
It was about 6 months ago. It was a good wine.
Mm. You're such a Chardonnay fan all the time.
I like Chardonnay.
It's so...
Probably because I like the Montrachet glasses.
There's so many things that, like... I can predict about you, but you liking Chardonnay is one of the weirdest.
I don't know.
He's just weird.
Yeah, whatever.
He's having a midlife
crisis. It makes me feel fancy.
Chardonnay makes you feel fancy?
It does, man. Nice. It does.
Chardonnay makes you feel fancy?
Well, like...
Do you remember
A 53-year-old woman, a white woman from Miami, it makes me feel fancy.
I was
like
just
her.
Thinking of, like, I feel pretty. That's how you sound.
I'm going to
put
plastic covers on my couches kind
all
of.
All the stereotype making fun of... The lady at the bar that
I know.
I like Chardonnay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so okay.
But you understand. I don't like the Chardonnay she likes.
And Rebecca, you might have made that same stereotypical kind of funny thing.
Yeah, I'm not. Too. I don't like Chardonnay.
That's fine. Kim Crawford Chardonnay.
Would it be my choice?
You and I could. You've never had it. We liked it.
Okay.
It's nice. It's a nice wine. But that's what I would say. Red wine. Obviously, I'm going to go Bordeaux, but we're trying to keep things in reasonable expectations. The Chateau Framboise, that was fantastic. But I'm going to go the Chateau La Prade. But anything like the Satellite Saint-Emilion's, any of those things, I just absolutely adore.
And it's the thing that I like about Bordeaux's is you can find really affordable ones that are really, really good.
Oh, beautiful wines. Great wines. You know? Normally, your Satellite Saint-Emilion, right bank, it's going to be Merlot driven, but still great wines. And then for my dessert wine, I'm going to do Presidential Tawny Port. It's like $12, $13. And it is tasty as all get out. And then Penfold's Club is also there as a distant second. Keeping it cheap. See how I'm doing that?
We like War as a Warrior, too.
Well, yeah, for a vintage character, yeah. No,
we,
I mean,
we like Warriors of Orient.
They get down with a vintage character. There's a lot of character of the vintage in that in Warriors Warrior. It will take the paint off your house. It's just what you want. And some of them can get a little off. Remember when we had Kneeports Tawny and we hated it? Or no, it was Kneeports Ruby.
Yes.
Well, we hated both the Ruby and the Tawny. But we hate their wine, their ports, because they go way too dry. And you drink it and say, what is this sheet? As Scott would, or Hank would say, what is this sheet? We even played marbles and we hated it. Yes.
Take another drink of your wine at the very finish. Okay. Very end of it. I think I might get a touch of white pepper. Just a sprinkle of white pepper at the end. Like a little... Mm-hmm. Do you see it? Mm-hmm. I thought I noticed it earlier, but I was blaming it on that mozzarella, whatever's on the mozzarella. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just still that lingering minerality, mm-hmm. but the acidity also, the little tingle.
Yeah, I thought I wondered if it was like just a touch end of the oak.
Maybe a little bit of that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good wine.
That's interesting. I feel like anytime you get white pepper in it, it's like, it just is a little bit of an elevation to me.
Occasionally, when Bonardas are properly oaked, you can even get into a little cigar box. Mm. Ooh. So, folks, we're going to take a break, though. And be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. And now on to the review section for the El Enemigo / Mijo Bonarda from Argentina. 392s from The Spectator, Robert Parker, and another reviewer. What do you mean? I'm just no other reviewer. I am James Suckling, and I provided a 92 of my points.
Scott, Jimmy.
Yes.
How are you doing tonight?
First of all, he referred to me as some other wine reviewer, and that insults me. Second of all, Wilford presented before me, and he didn't even review the wine.
I didn't know you were still allowed to say his name.
No.
Doesn't the
he's not allowed
restraining
to say,
order prevent you from making contact?
I have the restraining order against Wilford.
But that's correct. You know, I get served the papers, and I put them on my wall. Did you know I've wallpapered my entire house?
I can imagine.
With house paperwork. It's only one page, for Christ's sake. Oh, and it's letter, not even legal. It's fantastic.
Wow.
And I have a 5,000 square foot house. Well, it's not a house. It's a sanatorium. But that's not the point. They say, Wilford, quit putting that shit up on the walls. And I say, I'm not taking my medicine today. And they said, what? And they put me with electroshock therapy, and it doesn't work. You know, I'm like, ah, no. And they put it on my head. I'm like, that's, no. Wait, no. Never mind. I better stop talking.
That's not electroshock therapy when you do that to yourself.
No, but no. Well, I paid $45 down in Tijuana one time for that to happen. It was a guy named Bert. I think I've talked about Bert before.
Bert?
Yeah, and I said, why?
I thought it was Bertrand, though.
I said, that doesn't look like a very professional outfit you got. That's a car battery and some jumper cables. And he goes, well, my name is fucking Bert, and I'm in Tijuana. What do you expect? And I was like, well, I was already there, and I paid him my $45. So I just said, screw it. And it didn't work out too well for me, but now I know I can't bear children. So, you know.
The world is a better place.
Yeah.
So.
Also, you're 88 years old.
Yes. Right? That's true.
When you said the world is a better place, I thought you were going to say the world is a vampire. Remember
the world is
song?
A vampire.
That's right. And I'm also a vampire.
The Smashing Pumpkins song.
The world is a vampire. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to listen to them again.
You know why you stopped?
I never started.
No.
What? He writes for like WWF or whatever. He's like a wrestling writer too. He loves professional wrestling. Billy Corgan. What did I stop?
It wasn't a stop, but we did a... I'll tell you after the episode.
Okay. I don't know. So, reviews. Triple B.
I'm going to give this wine an 88. It is my first foray into Bernarda. So I feel like that's a pretty... Without having a lot to compare it to, I feel like that's where I'm landing. I'm really into this, and it makes me want to drink more of this varietal.
Me too. That's my exact thought. Mm-hmm. This bottle has made me want to try this varietal again.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, maybe we could come back, and I would be like, oh, I scored this too low, but I feel like this is a very... I'm rolling my eyes at you. I just feel like that's where I am, and that's my score, and it's mine.
It's very socialistic of you. Okay, on to the unlicensed taxi driver.
Unlicensed goes 89.
You loser.
Sorry, buddy. Wow. There's just something that makes me not start with a 9. I don't know quite what it is. I really enjoy it.
Why?
Score. I'm just talking about Scott in general, not about this.
Well, I disappointment is, you know, something you're used to. You look in the mirror every day. It's sad but true. You're used to disappointment. No, 89 is a really good score. I think it's a well-made wine. I think it's truly balanced. It just doesn't have this one thing that knocks my socks off. Mm. It just doesn't. I love it. I think it's a really good bottle. I would recommend it highly. It's interesting, but it's just, there's just not that je ne sais quoi. There's not that thing that knocks me back.
But it's just, I hate you. You know why? Because I agree. It is an 89. Damn it.
Oh, wow.
It's not an 88. Be quiet. It's just on that fringe. I don't know what it doesn't have to get up there. Maybe the fruit needs to be a bit brighter. It's such a great wine, though. I love the wine.
If it had that true plum sauce, that fig, something more. But it's got a kiss of the cherry, the minerality.
I would drink this again in a heartbeat. Yeah. I would buy it at 25. I wouldn't buy it at 29. I'd buy it at 25 because I know you can buy it then. I would wait, but this wine is such a wonderful drink. Honestly, the biggest thing is Bernarda. Look for it, and you're going to start seeing it. I mean, El Enemigo or Amigo is a premium producer. Everything starts above 20, right? But everything they make is fantastic.
They really do a good job.
But this is such on the fringe. It's just so close to 190. Yeah.
You know, I wonder how good the El Enemigo Bernardo would be.
Oh, get a 95.
Okay.
But it's just, I was thinking, I'm sitting here thinking, is this a 90? Is this a 90?
Did you
apologize
to Scott?
Never. Is this a 90?
Well, more to you. He was playing the Russian judgment.
Oh, no, she's still Russian.
Care less what he says about my score. I just think it's interesting he gave you so much shit and then scored it the exact same.
See, he actually censored himself.
I was angry with him because I agree.
He took the input and he...
I was angry because I agree. But I asked myself, is this a 90 more than once? And if you do that, it's not a 90.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's not a 90. It just isn't.
It's just a 90. There was a hard line in the sand for me. It just doesn't start with a 9. It's not lacking in anything. Nope. It just doesn't have a pop that makes me go, that's a freaking 90. Now, I would differ with the wine guy is, I would buy this at 30 a bottle because it's different, it's interesting, and I want to drink Bernarda again.
By the way,
maybe the next vintage does have that pop.
You're not changing your score.
Maybe the next vintage does have that thing that turns it over to a 90.
I can do whatever the hell I want. But I'll tell you what, I just took another drink and I realized why I like it, but also why I think it comes up a little bit short for me. We keep talking about Malbec. We keep talking about ABCDFG. You know what it actually does resemble a lot? Rhone. It reminds me of Southern Rhone.
I don't know.
Syrah in that area. It tastes that way. But, I mean, it just does. I just taste another time. I'm like, oh, shit. That tastes like a nice Cote de Rhone. And nice Cote de Rhones are great. but it's not like the Olivet. We just, Becky and I just had that. That was also by the way. Yeah, Olivet. It it's one of those wines that waits and then it stabs you in the back. The 15% makes you fall asleep on the couch and wake up at 4 in the morning. But it's not that. It's not that. And that's $20. And so when you're thinking, even though this isn't the same varietal per se, it has similar flavor characteristics, it costs more than those. And those wines are really amazing. But it does... But I'm thinking, folks, yeah, Grenache, Syrah, those blends do sometimes taste a little bit like this. So there's a comp right there for you. But Becky's leaving, even though, you know, hey.
Children are walking around. It's 9:30 at night.
They're not that important, but that's okay. So, Scott, what were your scores of integrity?
Rob had you at an 88. I had Becky as an 86.
Well, you lost. Oh my gosh, scores of integrity. I just took Becky's. She had, I don't know what the hell is this. She wrote JG. I don't know what that is. Here we are. Scores of integrity down here. She had you at an 89 and me at an 86.
Ooh.
What the fuck was she doing? Well, I won because I had Becky at an 88 and you at a 90. So I lost. I won by a lot. So
it was three. We both were three away.
Becky was.
You won
really
by 2 points.
No, why should she have 86s? What the hell?
She got my score exactly right, and she was three off on
I
yours.
I think we're seeing into
three.
The mind. She really was discounting this wine, and then when it was better than what she thought, she just crumbled. She probably also didn't know it was like $30.
I think she was discounting you is what she was discounting.
She always
which
does
is
that,
probably
but,
appropriate.
But I always come on top. The cream rises to the top. Great wine, though. Tip of the cap to El Enemigo.
Yeah.
And folks, don't hesitate.
Again.
I don't give a shit. It's El Enemigo. She can kiss my ass. She was on two fucking episodes, and we called it El Enemigo, and she never said a thing. And you did look it up and found it. I think you actually watched a video from them, and they called it El Enemigo.
Or we played a translator that pronounced
no,
it that way.
I think you listened to a video of the winemaker, and he called. I think that's what happened. So she's wrong. Or wrong.
Who's the guy with the deep voice?
I don't know what porn
the Argentinian
movies you watch.
Guy. No, go to the. Oh, come on. The deep voice.
Jacques comes a lot. I don't know what his name is. Harry.
No, we played his video.
I don't know
on the show.
I'm sorry, I wasn't part of this.
Yes, you were.
I was.
It was your guy.
I did no.
Patriciello.
No. Sorry, I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Come on.
No. I don't. I wasn't part of this.
It was that guy.
No, I don't know this guy.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh, you know him.
What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about Santa Carolina.
Santa Carolina.
Yes, well, I just...
Maybe he's the one who told us it was in Alan Amesia.
Well, he would be right, wouldn't he? That was on. That was like a CD.
Just take it.
No, that's probably what you watched. And that was a line from that movie that you were watching, but that's okay. Whatever. Yeah, I'd like to I want to congratulate everybody on the show, especially myself. Obviously, that last bit, we've sent it back into explicit, but we almost had a clean episode. Almost. Well. Almost. We didn't say fuck, shit, cocksucker at all, which is kind of sad. That's why the second episode exists. So, folks, a 88 and two 89s, the 88 obviously being tainted by Russia. But nevertheless, tip of the cap, bravo to El Enemigo Gio. We'll just call it that. They're Bernarda. Folks, seek it out. Buy all of their products, every single one.
Yeah.
Support this winery as if it's local. Because you know what? You're buying, it's boutique. Although it's at Costco now. But at Costco, folks, they're selling the Chardonnay and the Cab Franc. Go buy it. Buy it now.
They do a really good job. We've been through their product line. I can't wait for my next bottle of Bernardo.
If you like Zinfandel, buy their Chardonnay. If you like Cabernet generally, buy their Chardonnay. If you like Sauvignon Blanc, if you walk on 2 feet, buy their Chardonnay. The Chardonnay is that good, Scott. The Cab Franc is that good. This is that good. The Malbec, I have no memory of, but I know we did it. So it's probably pretty good. Do you have any memory of that Malbec?
Mm-mm.
Not a fucking shred, but I know we did it.
But it's Malbec. I think what we said about it is that it's representative of why people say Malbec's good.
I don't remember it at all. I have no memory of that wine. I know we drank it, though.
Malbec's just...
Okay, maybe skip their Malbec.
If you like Malbec,
the Vajelio. Remember the Vajelio?
That was the one I thought we liked. Was really interesting.
Really good. I gave that a 93, and I've drank it. Well, it's almost so thick you almost eat it. I've drank it a couple times since then. Oh, fantastic wine. So,
great producer,
but an amigo Joe. There we go. Beautiful producer. Tip of the cap. They should be proud of their product line. They should be proud of everything they do. Bravo. Great wine. Great winery. Buy it.
They were really proud until you botched their name and tried to give them all this credit.
I'm sure they would prefer my version and your version and Becky's version because she co-opted it twice, man. Twice.
Just own it.
No, I won't.
Just own it.
No. It's a special military operation. It's not a war. That's what Becky says. So... For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and her comrade self, the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.